we give you glory. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshiped. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd just like us to turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll take a scripture from that point. The seasons have changed. It's needful to be flexible in the hands of the Holy Spirit. When he moves, you move along. When he moves from one level to another, you move along so that you can be on the same page with him. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. See, basically, the book of Hebrews testifies about the heavenly ministry of Jesus. We know so much about the earthly ministry of Jesus, the things that he did, how that he went to the cross in order for him to accomplish redemption. Amen. But you see, it is true that that aspect of his ministry procured the legal platform upon which our life in God is based. He satisfied the claims of divine justice. And based upon that, our redemption was procured. Many people believe that that is where the equation ends. But when we go closely and study the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that Jesus is still walking today. We're going to try to look at his walk. What kind of walk is it? And how are we expected to respond to the life of God as he kicks within us? Hebrews chapter 5. We'll just take a verse of scripture, verse 10, because it is not my intention to preach this evening. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, okay, let's begin from verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, scripture is trying to make us familiar with the corridors of heaven. Right now, Jesus is in heaven carrying out his heavenly priestly ministry. Now, I'd like us to understand that priestly ministry based on the indicators that we found, we can find in scripture. I'd like us to peep at it and then try to understand that heavenly ministry. What is it all about? What is it doing in heaven? Now, I would like us to move one step to the book of 1 Peter. Maybe it will be simpler if we can pick just a few more scriptures to aid our explanation. Now, in the book of 1 Peter, are you with me? 1 Peter. If you're with me, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, and as newborn babes desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, in order for us to keep pace with God, Scripture is saying that there are several things we need to leave behind consciously, and there are several other things that we need to go for consciously. Are you with me? Now, see, this instruction needs the cooperation of your will. If you are going to stop walking in malice, walking in envy, it's going to be a decision first and foremost that you make before you begin to seek the help of God to help you out. Now, so the reason why he's recommending a high profile of purity and sanctity is because that is the basic requirement in order for us to function in our priestly calling, our priestly ministry. Now, there's a need for an added purging, an added cleansing, an added sanctification, an added desire to attain higher heights of purity. Now, this is a recommendation. He said, if we have that perspective, that if the life of God that we have received on the inside of us is putting us under pressure to let go some things in order for us to gain some other things. Are you with me? I want you to see something, just a verse of scripture, just one. Hebrews 5:10 is what I want to open. See, laying aside envies, because it's possible for you as a Christian to carry it along with you. Laying aside hatred and evil speaking, it's possible for you to be growing as a Christian, but you are a champion in backbiting. He says, if these things are still relevant to you, there are several heights in the realm of God that you'll not be able to function in. So you have to do something deliberate to lay them what? Aside. Then when you have done this, then you should begin to desire God's things. Right? Now, many times the devil, not wanting us to gain entrance into deep things that God has in store for us, keeps us entangled with little elemental things. And he's saying, just in case you are becoming serious with God, your seriousness with God should play out in the fact that you lay some small stuff aside. Now, you see, because if you don't get to lay them aside now, those are the very things that will constitute a stumbling block from allowing you to be ushered into big things. Now, please help me tell your neighbor, if you are too big to do little things, you soon become too little to do big things. If you are too big to do little things, you soon become too little to do big things. Now, the guys that people that were gifted with spiritual strength that missed the way of the Lord, they did not miss God's way because of big things. They missed God's way because there were little things, little foxes that spoiled the vine, little foxes that block a man from gaining access into priestly and princely functions. Now, he said, this aspect of your assignment, you have to do it deliberately, to lay aside stuff. So first of all, you need to check your heart and find out those things that have constituted a blockage, a stumbling block. Is your life resonating along the corridors of bitterness? Is there an issue of malice that has not been handled? Do you have the temperament of anger as a major feature that drives your life around? And you know, you are just perfect, but when that anger breaks out, many things that you have cultivated is cut off based on that anger. Now, so the Bible, first of all, is recommending that we strip, that our luggage content is too heavy, and God will have us strip aside, put some things out of place, so that we can reach on to the things that really matter. Now, we are talking about the journey of life. That's the journey I want to show you. Hallelujah. Now, so there's a conscious effort to lay things aside. Conscious effort to handle anger. There's a conscious effort to handle evil speaking. When your mouth, the utterances that come from your lips, are not a function of the government of God. That means your mouth operates outside of heavenly ruling. God is not the Lord of your mouth. Your mouth meanders. Hallelujah. He said you need to lay those ones what? When you have fully laid them aside, then you can now begin to desire God's feeding pattern. I hope you know that milk is for babies. But you see, he's saying that if you have not laid aside... I can't hear what I'm saying. Amen. Okay. You see, if you have not laid aside those things, you will not be able to have access to God's feeding pattern. Do you get that now? You find out why he's giving us all this instruction to check our luggage content, check the things we are carrying, check our attitude, check our disposition. Because if the devil comes and he puts pressure on you, if you have not yet defeated that anger, he puts pressure. A time comes where he can actually get you to respond that way. And they are in the day of adversity, that your response to anger is going to cut you off from several dimensions of flows in life. And that's why you find a believer that is anointed but is on one spot for long. There were several things he did not lay aside. So he became too small to do big things. Now, come with me. Now, you see, when you begin to drink of milk, when you begin to taste the milk of God's word, the milk, I'm not talking about meat yet, milk. Those elementary things in the word of God, you begin to taste of it. You will start coming to a point where you realize the priority system of the kingdom of God. Now, do you understand what I mean by priority system? What is important to God? You start finding out. You see, as you feed on the basic things of the word of God, not complex things yet, just basic things of the word of God, you come to a point where you start recognizing what is important in the realm of God. You see, and what I mean by what is important in the realm of God, you come to discover how precious. How marvelous the personality of Jesus is in the spirit realm. You with me? You are not with me? Now, many of us don't know how precious Jesus is. Meanwhile, that is supposed to be a result of the fact that you have been drinking milk. You are drinking of milk. You are desiring the milk of the Word of God. Should be evidenced in the fact that on an increasing note, you are coming to realize how precious Jesus is. Are you? Okay? Are you following me? Now, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. I know you don't understand that in the Godhead, nothing happens in the Godhead except through the office of the Christ. I know you don't understand that the Father will not accept anything that other than that which only the Christ gives. You see, if you have not drank milk, desired the sincere milk, I'm not talking about the mixed milk, but the sincere milk of the Word of God, the basic revelation of the thoughts of God should bring you to a point where you understand that the center and the circumference of the spirit realm, the divine supernatural realm, is Christ Jesus. Now, many of you have not yet desired, have not yet drank the sincere milk of the Word of God. And that's why you believe there are so many things that are important and you don't know what is really important in the kingdom. You may say faith is so important. Faith is elementary. Faith is not a big doctrine. It's the basic doctrine. It's an elementary doctrine. It's one of the things that you cannot do without if you are going to do business with God. Because God is not visible. God is invincible. And if you are going to relate with Him and handle His realm, handle His dimension, touch Him, then of necessity you must be operating basically by faith. Do you understand that? So, faith is kindergarten. And that's what the Bible says. I'm not just trying to downplay it. Faith is kindergarten. You get that? Good. Now, God knows that in your humanity, you cannot relate with the spirit realm. And so He makes a facility possible for you to contact that realm. And the way He does it is that by His Spirit, okay, let me come to you. I really want you to understand, because I know many of us did not understand. You were enjoying the service yesterday, but you were not understanding it. The reason, if you didn't understand, it's not for you. Not everything that comes that is yours. The people that I came for, they understood it very well. Hallelujah. Now, so me, I want to break small down for you. So that just in case you did not understand enough to be able to apply the things you heard yesterday, you will not suffer loss this evening. Because when the prophet comes up, he will not need to teach. He will go into his realm and he will begin to function from that point. Hallelujah. See, that's why God graces people diversely, so that they can effect something in him and manifest a dimension of him. Hallelujah. Now, are you still with me? Is when you have taken of the sincere milk that you know what really matters, what is important in God's realm, what God calls precious, God's scale of preference, God's perspective, and God's eye view. You begin to understand that. And in God's eye view, you must know and let it enter you that Jesus is the precious. I said that faith is elementary and basic, because the realm we have dealings with is a realm that you cannot touch with your hands. Now, this is how it works. In the New Testament, the Bible makes us to understand that now the Lord is that Spirit. So Jesus that we knew in the Gospels, in the New Testament, He has become that Spirit. And so His office, which is the office of the Christ, the office of the divine administrator, is that office now is made effective through the personality of the Holy Spirit.
Now, as the Holy Spirit tabernacles in your spirit, the office of the Christ has a command tower in your spirit, man. And if the Christ's office, if he is administering something in his office, the personality that brings the dividend of that which his office is administering is the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Now, this is how faith works. God knows that you cannot see into the spirit realm except by the Holy Ghost, except by himself. He knows you cannot handle spiritual things except he makes them known to you. You see, and you don't have the capacity as a human being to know spiritual things other than the Holy Spirit. Now, so when you come into God's presence and God wants you to relate with a situation, the situation he wants you to relate to it is a spiritual situation, supposedly of danger, and the danger is coming. Now, the Holy Spirit has seen that danger. God has seen that danger. And then in order for you also to be brought into the reality of that danger, the Holy Spirit gives you a sign. Gives you a sign. And then a time comes when that sign catches your attention. When that sign catches your attention and you believe that which God is signaling, when you believe it, you become right with God. That means you have become aligned with God. You are now seeing from God's eye view. From God's what? Perspective. You see, now if we get to eat or drink of the sincere milk of the Word of God, what it does to us is perspective issues. Perspective issues. Somebody say perspective issues. You see, there is a way a man sees things. There is also a way God sees things. And these two ways are parallel. And it is impossible for you as a man to see things the way God sees them, except you see by God. And so faith is that facility that God makes available for you to see things through his own eye view. You see, when you have seen something through his own eye view, then you can relate with a realm that you can't see with your natural eyes. Your navigation capacity is the witness of the Holy Spirit that comes from the realm of God. You see, you know, it's basic. Faith is basic. Faith is basic because we want to handle the realm that is a realm that we cannot touch. We are walking in a realm that we cannot see. So faith is basic. In fact, if we go on to study faith in more detail, you come to realize that we have what is called the spirit of faith. We come to realize that we have the fruit of the spirit of faith. You come to realize that we have the gift of faith. We also come to realize that we have the operation of the faith of the Son of God. All of these things are faith in different contexts. But you see, you must understand that faith is basic if we are going to relate with a realm that we cannot see. Are you with me now? We have to depend on the sight of one that sees and make his sight our sight so that perspective issues can be aligned to God's own realm. You get that? So we leave the human perspective and we take on God's perspective. Now, the ability to move from the human perspective and take God's perspective is alignment. Did you get that? Now, so the Bible is saying that if we by any means have been desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, we must have been brought to that point where we had seen through God's eye view to know what really matters in God's realm. If you don't know what really matters in God's realm, you spend your life beating about the bush. What matters in God's realm is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. As far as God is concerned, Jesus is the approved definition of a man that God knows. I know you did not understand me, but I will try to explain if you can get it. When God said, "Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness," the first man that fulfilled that description is Jesus. At the riverside of John the Baptist's baptismal service, and when he went for baptism and he entered into the water and came out, the heavens were opened and God proclaimed and declared, this is the first man according to my own perspective. Oh, you are not with me. I'm just trying to help your perspective so that you will not be beaten about the bush. You see, if your perspective is helped, then we'll limit our scope of emphasis and then you'll be able to understand God's heartbeat. God's definition of a man is who? Jesus. You get it? What is God's purpose of creation? I want us perspective issues, just perspective. What is God's purpose of creation? The Bible says that all things were created for His pleasure. Okay? That means God sustains something in the depth of His heart that if when fulfilled will give Him pleasure. See, all things were created for His pleasure. See, so He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Pleasure. This is the idea I had in mind about a man. And now it has been fulfilled. So I am pleased. Pleasure. You see that? So, Jesus is the definition of a man from God's perspective. Just in case you are a man that is not in the order of Jesus, you are an aberration. A being. You are a being. But not a man. Because a man has a prescribed definition. He's supposed to be in God's image and what? After God's likeness. And the first of that kind is called what? You get it? Perspective. When you begin to drink of this sincere milk, it helps you with perspective issues. You begin to see the way God sees. And if you don't see the way God sees, you will not be able to operate God's realm. You will not be able to function in God's realm. If you are still with me, say amen. I'm not just taking time. I'm just doing a recap. A recap. Hallelujah. Now, a Muslim prays. A Muslim fasts. What is the difference between your fasting and your prayer and the fasting of a Muslim and the prayer of a Muslim? Sister, what is the difference between your prayer and fasting? You have been fasting since the way I'm seeing you have been fasting. The fasting you are doing, what's the difference between the fasting you are doing and the fasting a Muslim does? Who can help me with that answer? Because we need to understand this thing. They are basic things. These are sincere things. They are offshoots of the sincere milk. All right, yes, so what's the difference between the fasting you have been doing and the fasting Muslims do? Wow, that's... Don't worry, he has answered my question. Although you don't know the meaning of his answer, that's why your hand is up. You see, no, it's actually a burden. And I know many of you didn't hear what he said. But don't worry, I will explain. Because you might see a Muslim kneeling down, putting his head down, and he's doing that 5 times a day. Okay, come with me. Are you with me now? Now, Jesus is the definition, is God's definition of a man. Are you with me? Now, based on what happened in Philippians chapter 2, after that Jesus fulfilled his calling as a servant ordained by God to die for the sins of mankind. Okay? And his sacrifice was accepted. The Father was so pleased. And because the Father was so pleased, Jesus was given the highest honors in the spirit realm. The highest honors in heaven. Now, when we say that Jesus is sitting at the right hand side of God, we are not saying Jesus is sitting here. It's not geography that we are talking about. We are saying that Jesus has been given the highest honor in the spirit realm. Are you with that? Now, on the strength of that, in fact, that highest honor in the spirit realm is what we call the office of the Christ. Are you still there? The Christ is an office, just like the presidency is an office. All right? A man can sit in that office, but the office is separate from the man. The man cannot wield the power of that office if he is put down from the office. Do you get it? So he earned the highest honor in heaven, which is to sit in the seat of the Christ. And the seat of the Christ is the seat of the personality that administers all of the purposes of God. Now, let me explain that. If God wants to heal, he will make payments for that healing through that office. And he will make supply of the healing through the office. See, so Jesus went and paid for healing. Because the Bible says by his stripes, that's an administrator. It's an administrator that goes to pay for the table and the chair in the office so that they can be supplied. Now, so he went and paid for the healing. And then, if the healing is going to be administered, the Holy Spirit goes to administer what he has paid for. But it's not the Holy Spirit that is supplying it. It's Christ supplying it through the Holy Spirit. You get that now? So God doesn't do anything except he consults with the office of the Christ. You get that now? Now, okay, if these choir people want to sing, and the choir person comes up here, and because he has been hearing one song at home, he now brings the song here and begins to sing. That song cannot express heaven. Because the song came from whom? If a song is going to express heaven, the office of the Christ must release it. And then the person receives it from Christ, from that office. And how do you receive things from Christ? You receive them through the Holy Spirit. Do you get them? So any activity of the Holy Spirit you see at all is what? It's an offshoot of an office. Are you still here now? It's an offshoot for what? From what? An office. A song comes into your spirit. It came from heaven. It came from where? An office. Now, if you pick that song up and begin to sing it and to lead us in it, the presence of that office will fill this place because you are actually offering something that you received from that office. From heaven's perspective and from the perspective of the kingdom of God, that the most precious personality, precious office, precious man is Jesus Christ. Except you know that, you cannot be a spiritual man. Alright? Now, read with me. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He said, if you were moving steadily in the things of God, you must have stumbled upon the fact that God, that Jesus is precious. That Jesus is the center and the circumference. Jesus is the revelator and the revelation. You must have stumbled upon that fact if you were consistent with your walk with God. Are you there? All right. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. See, even though men disallowed him, he has been chosen of God, and he is what? Precious. So in the kingdom of God, Jesus is precious. That's a golden rule that we must understand. That nothing in that kingdom rises except by Jesus. God will not attend to you except his office has quickened you. God will not receive what you are offering except that which you are offering came through a quickening
from his office. Now, let me read finally. Ye also, as lively stones, have built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, then you can underline acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said that our sacrifices are acceptable to God. How? By Jesus Christ. You see, you know, we have done a lot of teaching before today. And I've taught us that if you see Jesus Christ is different from Christ Jesus and is different from Christ. So when we see Jesus Christ, the emphasis is on the person Jesus. The person Jesus, the Son of God. You get that? When we see Christ Jesus, the emphasis is on the office that he operates from. Now, so this scripture, the emphasis held in this scripture is the person Jesus. Somebody said the person Jesus. So he said that whether or not my sacrifice will be accepted in the presence of God will depend upon one fact and one fact only. Depend upon the fact that it is Jesus that handed over that thing that I'm offering to God. Can you see the difference? Now, a Christian is praying and he begins to pray. When he begins to pray, the operation of Christ in his spirit is activated. When the operation of Christ in his spirit is activated, he begins to receive things from the Spirit of God to offer to God. Alright? That is prayer will strike a chord in heaven, because if the prayer is coming from the chamber that God has approved. Meanwhile, a Muslim can go on Ramadan. But what he's doing, his activity and religion is outside of the office of Christ. So there's nothing he can do that can strike a chord in heaven, because it's not coming from the portal of approval. But I'm not saying that this prayer is not striking a chord somewhere. His prayer is striking a chord somewhere, but not in heaven. You see, because him that is precious have been avoided. There is nothing he can do to reach God, because God can only be reached by the approved method, the approved portal, and the approved throne. And the approved throne is the throne of the Christ. Anything that did not precipitate from that office cannot ascend to God. Now, the Bible makes us to understand that because Jesus knew that he had come from God, so he also knew he would go back to God. That's the sequence. It's only that which has come from God that can go back to God. If a prayer did not come from the belly of God, it will not get to God. You see that now? Now, so if the song they are singing, leading us to sing, if that song did not precipitate from the heart of God, it will not get back. It will lack the stature to have an appearance in the presence of God, because it did not precipitate from the office of the Christ. Did you get it to that point? Now, so the sincere milk of the Word of God brings us to an understanding of what is precious in the kingdom of God. How that God has pedestaled Christ and his office to be offices, it will be an office and a person of preference and preeminence in the kingdom of God. Anything that happens outside of his office cannot get to God. You see that? Hallelujah. Now, so when I begin to pray in tongues, for instance, I want to start my prayer and I begin to pray in tongues, what I'm doing is that I'm building myself. The reason why we need to build ourselves is so that the activity of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, we can be conscious of it. In building ourselves, we are affording ourselves the operation of the Holy Spirit as catalyst to hasten the rate of reaction, so that we can be conscious of that which is coming from the office of the Christ into our spirit. It is those articles that are coming from the office of the Christ into our spirit that are the spiritual articles with which we carry out our priestly ministry. Are you still with me?
See, this is a journey of, this is a thing of life. Now, so we need to know the voice of life. How does life speak? How does the office of the Christ communicate to us? How does God speak when speaking is dangerous? So that his people can know how to respond and know the things to offer in order to create the effect that is required. Prayer is so pivotal. So pivotal in the operations of God. Because the way God has structured things is that he has given this realm to men that have flesh on their body. So a spirit is illegal in this realm, according to the book of Psalms 116, I guess, verse 15. If my quotations are correct. You say the heavens, even the heavens of heaven, talking about the third heavens, that the third heavens belongs to God, but this earth he has given unto the sons of men. Now, so the day God made that proclamation, it became illegal for a spirit that is not a man to operate in this realm without man's permission. Now, the reason why we are called into the priesthood is because we have a permanent ministry of giving earthly permission for heavenly interference. It's a permanent ministry. Irrespective of whether you are a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist, an intercessor, we are all called into that office so that continually from the face of the earth, incense can go to heaven, giving heaven the permission required to invade the earth. That means without an accurate priestly ministry on earth, there will be no heavenly intervention. Just in case you find God in a city breaking out, it's because people invited him. They deliberately knocked on his door, troubled him until they brought his hand down. And if you see the devil's presence in the city, a cord was struck in the devil's realm by a man too and brought demons, brought darkness, brought death. It's as if the people that work for darkness, they work harder than we do. It's as if they work harder. Everywhere you go, all kinds of things are taking place. When will it be that we'll invoke so much of the glory of God on ground that you don't need an evangelist on the field? Conviction is just happening without an evangelist. Because we see death happening without anybody. Things, people just dying. They have invoked it. So the spirit is walking on the ground as a man of flesh and bone. Because they have done so many things, put themselves under pressure to make sure that kind of portal is created for that kind of darkness to be moving around from place to place. Hallelujah. Somebody's, all the male children in a particular family, they are becoming vagabonds. It doesn't happen like that. A priest did it. A priest that knows how to strike a chord somewhere has brought something. Hallelujah. You go to Akwanga, at that bend, so many accidents, you think it's normal. It's because the road is bent. That's not the only bent road, though. There are many bent curve roads that nothing happened. A priest went there. He consecrated that ground to be a ground of landing, an airport. You are not with me. Now, you see, the emphasis of this scripture is Jesus Christ. The spiritual sacrifices that we offer must come from Jesus. Now, that's why we need to check the Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 that are open. That he is called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I know you know what it means. He is called a king priest. Now, you must understand that technology did not exist in the Old Testament. Because you cannot be a king and a priest at the same time. What's his name? Saul. Saul, being a king, entered into the temple to offer a sacrifice. Saul offered a sacrifice. Could not wait for Samuel to come. He lost his kingdom. And who is the other man? He went to the temple to sacrifice. Priest came to restrain him. Refused. He was struck with leprosy. because he could not blend the two offices. Now, but you see, this priest, this order of priesthood, is an order that mingles the priestly with the kingly. I need to tell you what it means. Give me a seat there. Notice that the Bible reveals that our spiritual sacrifices can only be accepted because it came through Jesus Christ. The man Jesus. I believe. Now, you see, it happens to be that in the Old Testament, when you move from the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies, there is no furniture for the priest to sit down. In the outer court, you have the laver and the altar of sacrifice. In the inner court, you have the table of showbread, you have the seven golden candlesticks, you have the altar of incense. In the Holy of Holies, you have the tablets of stone, Aaron's rod that budded, you have the pot of manna. The Ark of the Covenant, you know how it looks like. The tablets of stone are in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark that is, you have those two cherubims there. Alright? And on top of that Ark is what they meant. You know the furniture. There's no furniture for the priest to sit. There's no provision for him to sit. Meanwhile, we cannot go into the encumbrances of talking about the garments of the priest and what it symbolizes, the dimensions, the burden, the responsibility, the garments of the Levite, the garments of the priest, the garments of the high priest. Three garments for Levite, six for priest, nine for high priest. We can't go into that. That's not where I'm going. I just want you to see something. Because in this new priestly order, there is a furniture. The furniture is a throne. Is called the priest after the order what? Melchizedek. The first time Melchizedek was mentioned was in the book of Genesis chapter 14. And his own, the perspective of the Melchizedek priesthood is not that you are offering something to God. That's not the perspective of that dimension. The perspective of the Melchizedek priesthood is that this priest has received something from God and he wants to offer to people. Do you get that? That's the reverse. Because the Bible reveals that Abraham gave Melchizedek bread and wine. No, Abraham gave tithes and Melchizedek gave him what? Bread and wine. Ministered something to Abraham that he had gotten from God. Did you digest that one? So a Melchizedek priest must be bringing tokens from God's realm to minister. No, you are not with me. I know that you know that a priest ministers to God. See, but in this Melchizedek dimension, this generation, this order of priests, they receive things from God and give to men. Their own is not just to minister to God. No, they have ministered to God sufficiently. And God has responded by releasing some things from himself. And that priest ministers what he has received from God to me. Now, let me show you something. You know, the Bible says, calls him the Prince of Salem, the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. Now, let me show you how he functions. That's why that scripture says, acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. He mentioned the man Jesus Christ. Philippians 4. Let me show you some intricacies. Some intricacies, some details. Because what is going to happen today is that the priest will receive something from God and give you. He will do what? Receive. In Philippians chapter 4, I want to read from verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is a brother now. This brother has confusions around his life. Are you with me? He's passing through situations and circumstances such that he doesn't understand why God will expose him to those kind of issues. So Paul is counseling him. And Paul is saying, be careful for nothing. Let nothing be your concern. Let nothing be your trouble. Let your soul not become displaced on the account of events and happenings. He said, be careful for nothing. But let every situation spur you to prayer. See, what does he say there? But what? Be careful for nothing, but what? In everything, by prayer and supplication. What's the meaning, difference between prayer and supplication? What is supplication? Supplication is a kind of prayer that makes us achieve alignment. That's the type that Jesus did in Garden of Gethsemane. When he was aligning with, he had his own position. He had what he was making request. He had prayer. His own prayer was, if it is possible, let the cup pass. Then the supplication aspect of it is, just in case this my request is not consistent with your will, I'm still open. That's supplication. Supplication changes you. Yes, you give God an opportunity to change you if you are the one that is outside of alignment. If you are the one holding a view that is not consistent with God's emphasis. In supplication, you also give God the liberty to change you. To ignore your prayer and change you instead. You get that? Good. So he said, our situations, our circumstances, our troubles around us should become an excuse for us to go the way of prayer and supplication, deeper alignment. When we have attained unto alignment, then the throne can minister to us. You know he's called the King of Peace. Is that not so? Notice that the Bible says, and the peace of God. That one is coming from the throne. That's the throne's response to the guy's condition. If he is the Prince of Peace, alright, and is the king after the order of Melchizedek, the priest after the order of Melchizedek, this is what happens. You see, he needs a throne for him to be the king priest. Because he needs this kind of ministry. You will do it because you have status. Somebody say status. Status. He is ministering himself to us as Melchizedek. What does he do? He ministers himself. He's what? The King of Peace. So he's the one that ministers what? Peace. The guy is in confusion. He's in trouble. Then the king now say, peace. Then suddenly, the situation doesn't change you. But what changes it? What? Throne. Have you been there before? The situation didn't change. The only thing that changed was what? Peace. It's the throne. That Melchizedek has ministered himself as peace to you. Do you realize that when you pray, it's not all the circumstances that change? No. In fact, as you grow higher, circumstances don't change that fast. No. It's you that he changes. And what he does is that he ministers himself to you. So we are seeing that scenario. This scenario, he ministered what? Peace. You get that? In some other scenarios, he can minister strength. He himself is ministering to you. Oh, you don't get it. See, See, in the New Testament, that's why on the Isle of Patmos, when John made contact with heaven, you see, John's eyes were open. He saw the problem of all the churches, different problems, different crises. But when he was recommending solutions to them, he was recommending aspects of Christ to them. The revelation he brought to each church was different. Was a different aspect of the Christ he encountered. To some, he gave the revelation of the one that is the possession of the two-edged sword. To some, he gave the revelation of him that had the two eyes that burned like a flame. To some, the same, he was ministering to them aspects of the realities of Christ. Because Christ, if you understand the book of Colossians, he is actually the solution to all of your problems. Him. Not that he will create something that will solve your problem. He is the solution to your problem. And as the king priest, he ministers himself to you. You see, if you have lived with your wife for long, you will begin to behave alike. There's part of yourself you have left in her. Hallelujah. So in God's scheme of things, as he wants us to conform more and more to the image of our God, what he does is that he ministers a part of himself to you. He keeps doing that. And then you keep finding yourself behaving and operating like him consistently. That's the build up. That's what God wants. Because God's vision is that every one of us will eventually become like him. How can you become like him when he's not ministering himself to you? In the book of 1 Corinthians, you begin to see that the Bible says that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, sanctification, so and so, redemption. The list doesn't end. It's an eternal personality. His realities are endless. So in a situation where you lack strength, he ministers himself to you as the quickening spirit that quickens your mortal body. Meanwhile, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. When he said, I'm the resurrection, he says, I'm the one that quickens the dead. So just in case there's strength, no strength left, he ministers strength to you. And then instantly, your mortal bodies are revived. You see that now? That's the journey. The king priest is in heaven. That's why he needs a throne to do that. It's by authority. He speaks himself and peace is furnished in your heart. You go into the journey of life and collide with the devil and fear is born on your inside. You come to him through prayer and supplication, seeking alignment. When you have gained alignment with him, he speaks strength. Suddenly, the fiery dart. It's not tough. You go again. Something now happens. People have accidents. So many people die. You saw fresh blood. You now came. And you are under the fear of death for 3 weeks. And then you began to pray and fast and seek alignment. And then suddenly, it speaks life to you. And then suddenly the cloak of death is broken. If not that he is releasing himself to you, you would have been cut off since. That's why the Bible says that our priestly ministry is dependent on Jesus Christ. Dependent on him as the priest that is operating in heaven, ministering himself to us. That's why he said, have you tasted that the Lord is precious? Have you tasted it? Has it come to you as a revelation that the Lord is precious? Has it come to you as wisdom that the Lord is precious? That if not for the Lord, would have had no hope. Not just because of his sacrifice, but because of his ministry. Have you ever read your Bible when the Bible says he upholds everything by the word of his power? It means that if Jesus stops praying in heaven today, we all will backslide. You don't know. The fact that you are kept in faith is because there is a faithful one that is in the heavens. If he stops that ministry, you and me will end up in a beer parlor before tomorrow night. Radio Benway will, that is, there will be so. Because he's in the heavens, that's why we are here. He's the faithful one in the heavens. That is why everything is kept under balance. Tonight, his ministry will come to us. Several things will be received from heaven and they'll be brought to you. So he does that as a king. He sits down to make those proclamations. Have you ever woken up? You didn't do, others did night vigil. You slept on Friday, but woke up with a strange anointing. The king discharged himself as anointing into you. So that you know that it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. So the more you grow in the world of the Spirit, the more you see how precious Jesus is. So tonight we want to celebrate Jesus as we open the curtains for him to reach to us, ministering to us that which he is himself. Hallelujah. Now, so the choir will help us sing the song that has Jesus in it. Jesus. 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 You see, you want to flow in revelation. You want to have revelation. There is a secret to it. You must understand what matters in the realm. Jesus. Now, if you have come to that understanding, there should be times in your life where you worship Jesus. Worship. You know what you are doing. That is the center and circumference of the realm that you subscribe to. He will open that realm. He will open that realm. He will open that realm. And then the realm of the Spirit will not be beyond that place. It will no longer be a distant place to you. God will give you the privilege for you to be drawn close, close to him. For you to see him closely. There is something that does for you when you, if you have seen him closely before. It damages your mortality. It damages, it does some damage. The time comes when you don't need to exert yourself to believe that God is around. No, you don't need. Because you see, for you have come to that revelation that is precious. And you know it, you are relating with him from that standpoint. The portals remain open for you. Jesus. Can we sing that song just two times right now?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Singing Jesus.
Listen to me.
That's the easiest way to open the heavens. Just worship Jesus. When you worship Jesus, the heavens open. I want you to use the next 2 minutes to worship Jesus. Just worship Jesus. Don't forget that. Before you fight battles, just forget about the battles first and worship Jesus. Worship Jesus on the revelation that He is precious. Worship. 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 Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Jesus. Worship Him. Habotabala. Make it a point of duty to worship Jesus every day, every day, every day. He died and rose. And He gave me victory. I have victory. Somebody sing, I am serving the living God.
I am serving.
I'm serving the living God. His name is Jesus Christ.